This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and welcome to another edition of Creative Impact. It's a weekly series in which we focus on the impact of the arts and creative sector on our lives and our community. We have a variety of guests, and today is going to be something special. Deb Pollack is the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, and she is my content partner for Creative Impact each week. And welcome back to the friendly confines of 89.1 WEMU.
Always great to be here, David. Hey, you've probably heard the phrase, the clothes make the man. That's something that Mark Twain paraphrased or borrowed from Shakespeare.
Yes, I have. And obviously, it does not speak well of me.
Well, you know, this is radio. People can't really see you. So I think you're safe.
And everybody is happy about it.
Well, really, you know, humans have expressed themselves through fashion ever since we started donning garments. And our guest today, Melanie Schussler-Bond, knows fashion through the ages, absolutely. She's a professor of costume design here at Eastern Michigan University, and she recently published a book, Dressing the Scottish Court, from 1543 to 1553. So let's welcome her to the studio.
Welcome, Melanie.
Thank you so much.
So, David, you know, I did costume design in a former life, and so I'm really, really excited to have Melanie here in the studio with us.
I think it is an underrepresented part of the theatrical experience, whether it's movies, plays, and the like. It is something that is integral to the telling of a story, right?
Absolutely. And Melanie, I'm not sure that everybody really knows what the role of a costume designer is and how important it is. So tell us a little bit about how you get selected to design a production and then really what you have to do.
Well, here at EMU, I share costume design with our wonderful shop manager, Madeline Huggins. We both design costumes for the shows. But I also work in the area at local theaters, Michigan Shakespeare Festival, Williamson Theater, Tipping Point, Northville. So in those cases, I usually just know somebody who knows somebody. It's all very word of mouth.
Right, right.
And once we get going on a production, there's quite a long process that you have to follow. You really have to study the script and talk with the design team and the director about how you want to approach a show. And then you have to do a lot of research and sketches, get your ideas out there, talk about it, do some color renderings, or pictures of the costumes that you're designing. And then you have to produce everything and make it real.
So how long in advance of a theatrical performance do you have to start this process? Because it sounds rather intense and time-consuming.
Well, it is. Usually at EMU, we start 6 weeks ahead, but some professional productions start years in advance.
And you mentioned working with the designers and stuff, but then you add the actors and all of that else. And so, you know, and plus sometimes they're period shows and sometimes they're modern productions. What part is all of it as exciting for you?
Oh, that's a good question. It's very different to do a period show than a modern show. For a period show, you're really building a world for the audience and trying to help them see how those clothes communicate information. For a modern show, it's actually much tougher because the audience knows what they're looking at and they know whether it's right or wrong. So it's really fun to see them kind of click into your reality and accept what you're showing them.
And what happens if you're even the slightest bit off? Does the audience reaction totally take away from the performance of those who are on stage because of something like costumes?
It can. Usually it's not that drastic. But if you do something wrong, it can really throw the audience out of the experience and distract them from the story you're trying to tell.
How do you know that the clothes that are on stage, on those actors, are the right clothes when the show opens?
You get a sense that the audience is accepting the world that you're building for them. It's all about communication. There's two parts to it. So you have to do your research and figure out what these people would have been wearing. But you also need to know how the audience is going to respond to that. Are they going to see what you're telling them? Or are they going to see a period fashion that looks silly to them and react the wrong way?
You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair with my co-host Deb Pollack. Our guest today is Melanie Schussler-Bond, a professor of costume design and author of the recently published Dressing the Scottish Court, 1543 to 1553.
So that's a very specific time frame, about 10 years. Is that typical for a costume history publication? A lot of research. Did you have fun doing that?
I did. It is unusually specific, but there's a particularly rich source of material for this period in the archives in Scotland. And I really wanted to make it available to other researchers. I had a lot of fun. I got to go to Scotland twice. I learned how to read secretary hand, which is a handwriting that they used in the 16th century that's difficult for modern people to read. I had to learn...
And you'll use that often, I'm sure.
I had to learn the dialect of English that people in Scotland were speaking at the time. And it's also tricky because they spell things phonetically. They didn't have standardized spelling. So it's all kind of a mystery, a treasure hunt.
So this sounds like a labored process. How much time did it take for you to gather the information to write the book, Dressing the Scottish Court?
It took almost 15 years. For me to
wow.
for me to bring everything together, get it collated, get it transcribed, get it translated, and put into a form where other people could use it.
So the title is Dressing the Scottish Court, and you mean everyone in the court, from the nobles to the court jesters. And this is before the Scots in general were wearing kilts. So you can or can't tell us about the undergarments? I know people on the are going to want to know that.
Is that
answer.
What I did wrong?
As far as we know, people at the court in the lowlands were not wearing kilts at this time. People in the highlands may have been wearing something like a kilt, although it wouldn't have looked like what we see when we go to the Celtic festival in Selene. I can neither confirm nor deny the presence of underwear under a kilt, but I can tell you what they were wearing at the court.
When you are making something so specific as these kinds of period pieces, I assume that you had to reference how they constructed the clothes back then. How different is it than the manner in which we construct our clothes today?
It's actually quite different. And the more you try to make historic clothing in the accurate way, the more you find that out. So today, all of our clothes are very flexible for the most part. So we turn them inside out, we sew them together, and then we turn them right side out again. Period clothing is much more like a man's suit, where it's built up in layers, and you just kind of add layers to the outside. You wouldn't take a man's suit coat and turn it inside out, because it would ruin all the shaping that's inside it.
So what did you learn about the court at that time through your research?
Oh, so many things. This is a huge treasure trove of information. One of the things I found very interesting was that the regent at the time, he was regent for Mary, Queen of Scots, who was 6 days old, 5 days old when her father died. He was very keen to establish his status as the substitute king. And so one of the things he did was he put a bunch of his retainers in what I call display livery. And this was party colored. It was one color on one side and another color on the other side. What you'd see maybe in a Middle Ages, sort of in the jesters, that hadn't been fashionable for at least a century, but it survived in livery. And Henry VIII in England also used it.
Oh, interesting.
James V, Mary Queen of Scots' father, used it. And so the regent, the Earl of Arran, used it to try to shore up his authority.
Based on what you learned about how clothes represented the times and the court of that era, might you surmise what people will think of us 200 years from now, 400 years from now?
I can hardly imagine. I think they'll probably talk about the rise of consumer culture and fast fashion, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
So, David, be careful about what you're wearing.
Well, I know what to wear under my kilt now.
Absolutely. Well, Melanie, thanks so much for being on the show and giving us some insight into your creative practice and you know, that century, the 15th century of 16th century of Elizabethan and Tudor England.
You're most welcome.
Thank you so much for the time. That is Melanie Schussler-Bond, Eastern Michigan's professor of costume design and author of Dressing the Scottish Court, 1543 to 1553, Clothing in the Accounts of the Lord High Treasurer of Scotland. And Deb Pollock, we'll see you again next week.
And you'll be wearing something smashing, right?
Always all black, all the time. Deb is the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, which serves as our content partner for Creative Impact. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.